Many thanks for the invitation. I'm very happy to be here and have the opportunity to discuss about Venezuelan issues. Given that you are really tired, and I have just 20 minutes, I'm going to be focused in just one part of my paper. You are going to have my paper, you can see the all data, the all arguments on the paper. You can destroy my paper, but now I'm going to be focused just in one section of my paper in relation with the current economic situation of Venezuela and the perspective. In particular, when I'm thinking about perspective, is how sustainable is the development economic project that was implemented, and what are the main problems of that development project that was implemented in the last 10 years. For the historians, a couple of minutes of macroeconomic history just to give you the context that can be useful to understand what I'm going to say after that. As you know, the Venezuelan economy, when you see the GDP rate of growth, you can see two totally different patterns of performance in the last 60 years. Pattern one, between 1950 and 1979, the glorious time of the Venezuelan economy, when an average growth of 6% and inflation of just 3%. That was the glorious time of the Venezuelan economy. And then a second pattern, totally different pattern of performance of the Venezuelan economy. A montaña rusa economy, ups and downs, an economy that every 3, 4, or 5 years have an economic contraction, and where the average of the last 30 years is just 2%, and with inflation of more than 30%. Economic contractions, volatility, and basically you have two totally different patterns of economic performance in the last 60 years. One with a very high and stable growth, and another with a very volatile and very low average growth. In the last 30 years, obviously this very negative macroeconomic performance had a very negative impact over the social economic indicators. If you see the social economic indicators of Venezuela for the period 74-2000, basically the period between 1974 and 1999, the year that Hugo Chavez came in power, what happened during that 30 years? As a consequence of very negative macroeconomic performance, all the social indicators have a very negative performance. Poverty tripled during that period. Informality tripled during that period. Unemployment tripled during that period. And if you see the Gini coefficient, it's obvious that the Venezuelan society became less and less fair in terms of distribution of opportunities and money. When you have a society that have this macroeconomic performance, when you have a society that have this socio-economic performance, you have a society that is having the perfect context for radical projects. What I want to say briefly is Hugo Chavez and his revolution is a natural consequence of very negative macroeconomic and socioeconomic performance. He is not the responsible of the crisis. He is the natural consequence of the crisis. The real enemies of Venezuelan society is poverty, inequality, informality, unemployment. But what is happening in the last 5-10 years of macroeconomic history? Well, after 22 quarters of consecutive GDP growth associated, correlated with an oil boom between 2004 and 2008, that indeed is the longest and highest rate of growth since 1993, the Venezuelan economy contracts again. The Venezuelan economy repeat the pattern of boom and disequilibrium, boom and contraction. And basically all the sectors on the Venezuelan economy have important contractions with the section of telecommunications. That's the only sector that had growth during 2009. In 2010, according to the Venezuelan Central Bank, and using data from the Venezuelan Central Bank, in 2010, a second consecutive year with economic contraction. Indeed, when you see the that data by quarter, what you can see that the Venezuelan economy have officially 7 consecutive quarters of contraction. The oil GDP have 8 consecutive quarters of contraction, and the non-oil GDP have 7 consecutive quarters of contraction. When you see Venezuela in the regional context, how Venezuela is performing comparing with all the Latin American countries, it's very obvious. In 2009, Venezuela had, obviously, an important contraction, quite similar to many other Latin American countries as a consequence of the global crisis. But however, the Venezuelan contraction, -3.3, was higher than Honduras, that was in the middle as a huge political crisis. In 2010, Venezuela, despite of the growth of the continent, because America Latina forgot contraction, economic contraction in 2010. All the economies had important growth. Brazil 6%, Chile 6%, Peru 6-7%. And Venezuela, despite of the growth of the continent, and despite of the very high oil prices, because last year the oil price, the Venezuelan basket, was $72. That is quite good price. In 1999, when Hugo Chavez became in government, the oil price was $8 per barrel. That's 10 times higher than the price that he has in 1999. Despite of that, Venezuela was the only country, excluding Haiti, with a contraction of the GDP. Officially, Venezuela has 2 years of economic contraction, has 7 consecutive quarters of economic contraction, and in particular in 2010, that performance is totally different to the rest of the continent that forgot contraction. I know this data has there are terrible disagreements about this data, but basically what I want to show that according to OPEC or according to International Energy Agency, basically Venezuela is producing less and less oil. And you can prove that through different ways. If you see the balance of payment, the total income by oil export is less than they should be because Venezuela is producing less oil. If you see the public finance of Venezuela, the fiscal income from oil is less than should be because Venezuela is producing less oil. And if you see the GDP growth, the oil sector have 8 consecutive quarters of contraction because Venezuela is producing less and less oil. And what's the point? Everything Venezuela is still, I want to say that in Spanish, is still una mina petrolera. Venezuela is not a country. Venezuela is una mina petrolera, still. Everything is oil. 95% of the total exports are oil. More than 50% of the total fiscal income is oil. And more than 80% of the total dollars that come to the economy to buy the imports are oil. Everything is oil. Venezuela is still a mina petrolera. And when you have this kind of a disequilibrium in oil associated operational problems, financial difficulties, and basically underinvestment, it's obvious that that has a very negative impact over the rest of the economy and over the rest of the Venezuelan society. Here is one of the main problems explaining why Venezuela is having a very negative performance in the last 2 years. Another or second big problem, I believe that certainly the main problem with inflation certainly is the overvaluation of the currency. Venezuela is having a much higher inflation to the rest of the continent or their partners. But additional to the overvaluation of the currency, I believe that that's a real social problem. Venezuela is having now the highest inflation in Latin America and between the highest inflation in the world. Just countries in Africa, like Zimbabwe or República del Congo, can have similar inflation of Venezuela. That's the highest inflation on the continent and among the 2 or 3 highest in the world. And that inflation is having, according to the Venezuelan Central Bank, very negative impact over the wages and salaries. According to the Venezuelan Central Bank, the wages index, índice de remuneraciones, this index has 11 consecutive quarters of contraction, according to the Venezuelan Central Bank, no IESA. That's the data, that's official data. And only in the last year, that index, the remuneration dropped by 6.3%. Conclusion, inflation is having a very negative impact over the whole population, and particularly over the poorest population in Venezuela, given that we have the highest inflation in the continent. Public spending. I totally agree that one of the main problems, why, one of the reasons why Venezuela is having a very poor performance instead of economic results is related with a wrong implementation of economic policy, and particularly with a fiscal policy that has been pro-cyclical. Basically, in 2009 and 2010, the government reduced public spending. Instead to implement a counter-cyclical fiscal policy, the government implemented a pro-cyclical fiscal policy, totally different than the rest of the continent, totally different than Chile or Peru did during 2009 and 2010. And this, one of the reasons why Venezuela is having a worse performance than Chile, Peru, and many other countries on the continent. The balance of payment. Here, well, I can spend an hour talking about this, but I'm going to talk just for 1 minute. Despite of the huge oil income of 2010, $64 billion in 1 year just on oil, despite of that, Venezuela is having a boom of imports, consequence of overvaluation of the currency, but it's also having, despite of the strained regime control, having a huge capital deficit. Well, that means that in 2010 and 2009, Venezuela has two consecutive years of huge deficits in the fiscal account. The point here is, the balance of payments of Venezuela was sustainable at prices of oil prices of $100, $120 per barrel. At $56 to $70 per barrel, I don't think that is a balance of payment is sustainable in the medium term. And that's related with the problem of overvaluation that's creating a boom of imports and is destroying part of the tradable sector of the economy, additional to the huge deficit in the capital account. Part of the problem is the huge level of imports. As you can see, in 2005, 6, 7, 8, and 9, Venezuela had the highest level of imports in the last 60 years, to be totally honest. In the middle of a socialist revolution, we had the highest level of imports, and you know what? 40% or 45% of that import come from the United States of America. You have a really strong confrontation with US. I know a politically correct person. You have a very strong confrontation with US, but a business as usual. Because in the middle of the revolution, you have a boom of import from US. And that's part of the problem, because basically, with oil prices of $120 per barrel, you have enough income to finance 50,000 of $50 billion in imports. But with oil prices of 60, 70, and 80, you don't have enough income to finance that. And that's the problem in the current account and the capital account and in the general balance of the balance of payment. Look at the other face of the coin, the non-oil export. In 2009 and 2010, Venezuela have an important contraction of the non-oil exports. Basically, $3 billion in 2009 and 2010, the lowest level in the last 11 years, one of the lowest level in the last 30 years. Basically, the overvaluation exchange or overvaluated exchange rate has destroyed an important part of the industrial sector, has destroyed an important part of the tradable sector of the economy. Indeed, look at the terrible concentration of oil in the Venezuelan economy. 95% of the total exports in Venezuela and just oil. Oil, no more than that. Venezuela is more dependent on oil now than ever before. That has been a problem always in Venezuela. In 1999, 80% of the total export were oil. Obviously, that was a big problem. After 11 years, that problem is even worse. 95% of the total export are oil. A huge concentration. That means that Venezuela is depending now, more than ever before, of the commodity more volatile, or el commodity más volátil del mundo. And you know what happened, that's the reason that we have a montaña rusa economy. Ups and downs, ups and downs, because basically we depend only on oil today more than ever before. The aggregate demand, basically you have in 2009 and 2010 contractions of the all components of the aggregate demand. Contraction of the private consumption, contraction of export, contraction of GDP. When you are thinking about the decrease in the approval of the Presidente Hugo Chavez, obviously the economic situation is one factor important explaining that. Obviously the contraction of GDP, obviously the contraction of imports, but one factor that is quite important explaining the decrease in the ratings of approval is private sector consumption. Between 2004 and 2008, the Venezuelan society had a schizophrenic pattern of consumption. The Venezuelan bought more TVs, more pantalla planas, more cars, and more Blackberries than ever before. And something that is without any doubt correlated with the popularity of the president and the approval ratings is the pattern of consumption. And for the first time in the last 7 years, in two consecutive years, the private consumption is decreasing. The Venezuelan people is buying less and less Blackberries and less cars. And trust me, that's a terrible thing for an average Venezuelan. Huh? Exchange rate, here's one of the main problems. In economic policy, at least I can see two main problems. One is the fiscal policy. As I said, Venezuela has been has had a very pro-cyclical fiscal policy, but the other problem is the exchange rate policy. We have exchange rate as overvaluated, and we have controls over that. At the moment, Venezuela has three different exchange rate, 430, 430, the parallel market, and the black market. And one of the main problems is that the black market exchange rate is more than double than the official exchange rate. And obviously this overvaluation of the exchange rate, the official exchange rate, is producing a boom of imports and basically is creating many distortions in the allocation of resources in the economy, and more important than that, is creating terrible incentive for corruption. There are two things that are really cheap in Venezuela. One is a little of gasoline. It's really cheap, the cheapest in the world. And the other thing that's really cheap in Venezuela is a dollar cadivi, you know, an official dollar. And everybody wants to have a liter of petrol and a dollar from cadivi. As a consequence of the negative performance of the Venezuelan economy in the last 2 years, the country risk of Venezuela is very high. Venezuela has now the highest country risk in the country, three or four times higher than the average of the Latin America. And one of the questions that Sam Malone, a good friend of me, had in a paper is, what do the markets know that we don't know? I think that the country risk is perceiving what is happening in terms of sustainability of the economic policy in Venezuela. And associated with that, the level of foreign direct investment, consequence of the wrong economic policy, the massive expropriation and nationalization, controls over the economy, obviously the level of foreign direct investment in Venezuela, according with ECLAT, is the lowest in the continent. And what's the problem? Basically, only with petrodollars, just with income from oil, you cannot sustain a development project in the long term. You need, without any doubt, private investment, national private investment, and foreign direct investment. At the moment, Venezuela have one of the lowest foreign direct investment in the continent. An interesting point about the preceding economic indicator, something that I think is good to know and see in the context. All of this in the context of very high oil prices. In the last 11 years of revolution, the average of oil has been more than $45 per barrel. And oil export in the last, 1 minute, in the last 11 years has been $519 billion. It's obvious that something better could be done with that income. $519 billion of income in 11 years. Only in 2010, with an average price of $72 and a total income of $60 billion, something better could be done. And despite of it, the Venezuelan economy is having a very negative performance and important contraction for second consecutive year. Finally, a bit of astrology. The forecast. That's not economics, that's astrology. Well, let's see how different institutions from see Venezuela in 2011. Well, basically the forecast for different institutions indicate that Latin America will continue growing, at least at 4 or 5%. And some economies like Brazil, Peru, are going to have a growth of 6 or 7%. The only exception will be Venezuela, which is not expected to grow or will do on a very low rate, 1 or 2%. The more optimistic player in this game is the Venezuelan government. And according to the government, Venezuela is going to grow 2% with an inflation of 23 or 25%. You know, the more optimistic player thinks that the growth of Venezuela is going to be below the average of the continent. That means that Venezuela is going to be a very low economic growth that in per capita terms is negative, because 2% of growth in per capita terms is going to be a third consecutive year of economic contraction. And finally, some final reflection. The collapse of the economic model based on the injection of petrodollars in the economy. Basically, I'm talking about a growth model stimulated by public spending and increase of consumption, which is not supported by higher production and private investment. The inconsistent economic policy, basically a very inconsistent fiscal policy and exchange rate policy. The increasing government control over the economic activity, as you see, Margarita. Basically, price control, interest controls, exchange rate controls, a massive expropriation, nationalization, and confiscations. Because in the last 3 years, we had in Venezuela 240 expropriation, but many of that expropriation haven't been paid for that. In consequence, officially it's a confiscation. The increase in government control over the economy and in general the implementation of development model that completely rejects private investment is driving the Venezuelan economy down a route of low growth or recession. I'm going to finish the paragraph. This will be very likely the performance of Venezuela economy unless a reformulation of economic policy takes place, which seriously incorporates private sector initiative. Otherwise, the Venezuelan economy will remain at the mercy of another miracle of exponential increase in oil prices. With the Venezuelans, we know that miracles happen, but sometimes you have to do what you have to do, and you have to implement the right economic policy to recover the growth and stability in the long term.